What is a zero-click world? Today, my expert guest, Lorraine Ball, joins me all the way from Indiana to answer this question and how it applies to you as a content creator. Lorraine is one of the most seasoned marketing experts we'll ever have on this show. She travels around the United States delivering presentations on marketing to classrooms, to universities, is a successful entrepreneur and author, and started her podcast, More Than a Few Words, all the way back in 2009 when podcasting wasn't even really a thing. She gives away all her practical tips, the tools and tricks that she uses to create content here in a zero-click world. Let's dive straight into our conversation. Welcome to the podcast, Lorraine. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for inviting me to join you.
It's great to be connecting across the globe. The first question I have for you, this got my attention. I want to start by asking, what is a zero-click world?
Oh, zero click. This is an environment where the social media platforms are really rewarding behavior that keeps you on their platform and punishes you when you put outbound links. They are trying to create this environment that is zero click. And it's not just social media. We're seeing that with Google as well, as you're starting to see more and more rich snippets and content. Even when people are doing searches, they're finding their answer before they ever get to your website.
Amazing. And that makes sense to me, because if you're a platform, you want to retain people because you can put advertising in front of those eyeballs. If people click away, you've lost that attention.
Absolutely. And that's a lot of what's driving it. There's also the scrolling behavior, which supports that zero click as well. I'm zipping through, I'm watching a video, I'm reading a little story. If I click over to your website, then I got to come back. And people are also resistant to that situation of jumping over somewhere else.
Well, how do you think that zero click is changing content moving forward?
I think it is putting a lot of pressure on content marketers to create great content that lives where it lives. That sounds silly. Of course it lives where it lives. But what I mean by that is that you're creating content that is not designed to drive people to your website or somewhere else. It's designed to tell the story on whatever platform someone's on. But here's the other challenge. People have the attention span of a flea. They do not want to watch a 5-minute video or a 10-minute video. They do not want to read a really long article. And so what you have to learn how to do is create that big piece of content, that juicy 20-minute podcast or 10-minute video. But then you got to break it up into little pieces. And each piece has to tell part of the story so that as people bump into your content, wherever they're bumping into it, they're still getting the story.
Amazing. You're speaking my language. And to elaborate on where you're going with that, do you have any tips for listeners on how to create content in a zero-click world?
So the first thing is that even though we're living in a zero-click world, all of your best content has to live on your website. You can then break it up and put it in other places. But rule number one, it has to live on your website because that's the only place that you own the real estate. Facebook can change their rule tomorrow. YouTube, and they did this to me about a year ago, they were loving my shorts. I was creating shorts just for them. It was great. 3 months, great views. And then all of a sudden, they changed their algorithm. And you know what happened to my views? Gone, gone. But I had the longer videos living on my website as well. I had the interviews hosted in multiple places so I could embed them back on my website. I had the transcripts. Everything has to start with your website. That's number one. Number two, it is way easier to create one long form piece of content and then break it up than it is to be brilliant 30 seconds at a time. And so whether you're shooting video, and I know a lot of content is moving towards video, but even if you're writing blog posts, write that wonderful 1,000-word, 1,500-word blog post, and then break it up into smaller chunks that you share on social, that you drip out there in your newsletters, that you get in front of people, but always that core is living in your website. Those are my two favorite tips, but I've got more, but we could stop for a second.
I love that because people do forget that once you put your content onto a platform, they essentially own that content and they can change the rules. I've had platforms change rules on me many times over the last 14 years. And then you've either got to adapt and innovate or work it all out, or you go back to square one, essentially. So that's really, really solid advice. Thank you for sharing that. Now, do you have any predictions for the future of content?
So, well, this is sort of somewhere between the tip and the prediction, okay? So as you're creating videos and as you're creating blog posts and you're sharing pieces on social media, the complaint is, well, what do you mean the social media platforms are going to penalize me if I put a link? Well, they're going to penalize you. Well, but I want people to come to my website. Mm-hmm. Put the web address in the video, not in the description. Put the web address on the graphic. So if people really want to find you, they can, okay? But you're not going to run afoul of the artificial intelligence that is manning the algorithms looking for those outbound links, because technically you don't have one. So that's one of my favorite strategies there. As far as the future of content, I was doing a presentation on this not too long ago, and I was talking about the fact that things change and they are changing so quickly. A year ago at this time was when ChatGPT really became commercially available. And you think about how much of your content is now being influenced by artificial intelligence, and that's only going to continue to grow. There will be more people creating bad content with ChatGPT and other products like that. And there is no way to stop that there. It's just exploding. But the way that you win in a post-apocalyptic AI-driven world is you have to overlay you. Whether you start with a blog post that's something you wrote 5 years ago, give it to ChatGPT, ask it to rewrite it. But then when you get it back, the beautiful thing is it'll be fresh content. It'll score well on SEO because it won't be duplicate of what you've released before. But before you put it out there, read it over again. Read it out loud and make sure it sounds like you. Because if you don't, ChatGPT has two voices left to its own devices. Stuffy professional, way too stuffy, and frat boy, the college fraternity brother. Yo, bro, this is... No. And if neither of those voices are you, you gotta kind of work with it. So I think using AI to supplement, you get stuck for a title, upload the article that you wrote and ask ChatGPT for suggestions on a title. Upload an article that you've written and ask ChatGPT to create social media excerpts. It's your content. It's unique. And you're just using it to shortcut. One of my favorite toys right now is something called Opus Clips. You upload your video. This is your content, but you're using the robot to tell you, this is a great clip. This is a great clip. Here's your little transcript to go with it. And so treat AI like an employee or a partner. I would not hire a kid fresh out of college and let them loose without looking over their shoulder. And I think ChatGPT and Opus Clips are like that college kid. They got great skills. They just need direction.
Love what you shared there, because that's one of the messages that's come up consistently, is it needs to be a hybrid solution. If you can take that authentic original content and you can accelerate, or you can get AI to step in and contribute to the success, you don't fall into that category where you're vanilla, like everyone else that's been lazy, taking the shortcuts, putting out duplicates. It's still authentic. So you really were practical on sharing that. So I'm sure everyone's going to be lapping up those advice and the tools that you just shared. So thank you.
You're welcome. One last word of warning. AI isn't always right. I don't know if you've read some of these articles, but people using AI tools, research, and then not double checking the facts. There was an attorney here in the US that used AI to research case law. And unfortunately, the judge he was going in front of was an expert in that particular kind of case law. And the attorney didn't check the recommendations from the AI tool. And the judge was like, I don't recognize any of these cases. And I'm like an authority in this area. Goes to check them. None of them existed. The algorithm It's really good at scraping data from the web. But the other thing you have to remember is that not everything on the internet is true. You can recognize it, but AI can't. The tool treats all the information equal. It gives it equal credibility. So if you're using it for fact-based work, double check.
I think one of the things anyone could do is take something that you do know and just test it, because that's how I learned the inaccuracies of ChatGPT right from the outset. I took a set of facts that I knew to be true, then I asked ChatGPT, can you give me this information on that topic? And it came back, it was all wrong. And then I asked it to correct itself and it couldn't get there. So that's a really, really important point. And you can test drive the inaccuracies yourself just by taking something and putting it in there. So thanks for sharing that, because a lot of people, I'm sure, are not fact checking. And that could create some serious problems in terms of credibility and also giving out false information, which has ramifications. So thank you for highlighting that point. I just wanted to pivot quickly, because you're a prolific podcaster with More Than a Few Words. Tell me how that show came about, because I know it's very popular.
So More Than a Few Words is a marketing conversation for business owners. And it started actually in late 2009. I had an intern working for me and he walked into my office and he said, Lorraine, you like to talk. Well, yeah, I do. But why are you bringing this up? And he's like, I think you should have a podcast. Now, this is late 2009. I looked at him and I thought, okay, I don't even know what that is, but set it up, put a microphone in front of me and we'll make it work. We started recording episodes. And really in the beginning, we were treating it a lot like internet radio. The shows were 30 minutes long because that's how long a radio show was, talk radio. We even had a live call-in. We were doing the podcast live with a call-in radio. That was just crazy. We stopped doing that very quickly. But over the last 15 years, the show has evolved. And I am no longer constrained by a time limit. I like to keep the shows around 10 minutes, so they're quick hits. I love using it as a platform to get to know people like you all over the world. And it continues to be fun. And so as long as it's is fun and I'm getting a chance to meet interesting people, I don't see any reason to stop.
It's a brilliant show too. And have you got any tips? I know a lot of listeners that tune into the Content Marketing Podcast would want to explore that route. So someone that's been in the trenches and in the field for such a long time, do you have any tips that you've picked up or anything to share with people that might want to start a podcast that could help them achieve success or get started with that?
So I love podcasting and I think everybody should give it a try. Now, before you start, figure out why you want to do it. Do you think you're going to create something that's going to be an ad revenue machine? You've got a big hill because there are some very popular shows out there that have that place. Are you using it to build credibility? I had somebody who said, you know what? I'm going to just invite prospective customers on and let them talk. It's a great way to open up a conversation. Whatever it is, have your objective in mind. For us, when we first started, it was a credibility builder. I was running a marketing agency. I wanted people to see me on this other level. Know why you're doing it. Number two, record half a dozen episodes and get them ready to go before you release. Because just like starting a business, your first three customers are easy. It's 4, 5, and 6 that get tough. So definitely have that ahead of time and think through all the promotion. Think about where are you going to promote it? Who's going to help you? Because it can take a lot of time. It doesn't have to, but it can start to eat into your time. The other thing is that after you've been doing it for a while, you know, maybe you have 20 or 30 episodes in the can and you're building an audience. Remember that your audience probably did not hear episodes 1 and 2. There is nothing wrong with re-releasing old conversations. It took me a really long time to learn this. I got almost 1,000 episodes. And so I've got a lot of really good conversations. I don't want to say nobody's heard, but probably none of my current audience. You know, it was a conversation from 4 years ago, but it's not on a technology that's outdated, but a marketing principle that still makes sense. Those conversations almost always do better the second time around. So definitely do that. Consider doing collections, depending on how long your episodes run, where you bring together excerpts from 2 or 3 different conversations and introduce, again, your audience to just that range of content that you have. So those are some of my favorite tips.
They're amazing tips, and I hadn't even thought of that repurposing an earlier episode myself, so you've just dropped the bomb for me, so thank you very, very much. While we wrap up, I wanted to ask, you do a lot of speaking, you're in the classroom a lot. Do you have a takeaway that's a common theme that often pops up from people that you're in front of, a question that gets asked a lot, or anything that you observe in that environment?
Wow. Two very different environments. I teach at a local university. And the thing that I see over and over again is, and I saw this when I was running my agency and hiring young college grads, they've got great raw skills, but they don't really understand the business implications of marketing and of particularly social media. And so as I'm talking to business owners, I always tell them, look, if you're going to hire a kid, hire them for the skills, but they don't understand how this fits into your business. You've got to be able to tell them that. And I think that's kind of living in both of those worlds, talking to business owners about doing their own content marketing, hiring someone to help them, and the pros and cons of hiring a kid. If you've got the time to train them, it's great. If not, you may want to spend a few more pennies and hire somebody who's a little more seasoned.
That's great advice. And I think anyone that's listened to this point in the episode has got tremendous value from all the practical tips that you've shared, which I really appreciate you coming on and giving them. So if someone wants to get more of those and they want to start following you, what's the best way that they can get in touch?
Well, first off, More Than a Few Words is available wherever you listen to podcasts. You can certainly go over to morethanafewwords.com. But if you want to strike up a conversation, say hello on LinkedIn. That is the best place to find me.
And I'll also add, if you want to model someone who's doing a great job on LinkedIn, just go check out Lorraine, how she does content and posts, because as we say, you can borrow clues from people that are doing things really well and put them into practice in your own world. So thank you so much, Lorraine. It's been an amazing conversation. Even I've got some incredible takeaways. So thank you so much for sharing, and can't wait to do it again sometime in the future.
That would be awesome. Have a great day.
If you enjoyed Lorraine's episode today, make sure you follow those links in the show notes. To download a free copy of the 30 Days in 90 Minutes content creation system, head to contentonly.au. If this is your first time discovering the show, make sure you hit subscribe or follow so you can catch all the new episodes on demand.